I'm sitting here right now looking at my Star Wars lightsaber right next to my Star Trek pizza cutter. So I
is
totally,
that what that is? It's yeah, a that's pizza a, cutter.
It is awesome.
Where do you get one of those? I want
it's
one.
The most epic pizza cutter ever. And as you know, I have a bottle opener,
yes,
too.
Yes, and you have used it. At
and
Ren
oh,
Fest.
We use it. We use it. I keep it on my belt. It's the epic opener.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I'm a high-functioning zombie. I am also an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I have more than 3 Jedi-themed songs on my iPod, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, welcome everyone. Yay, we're doing a podcast.
Finally.
Yes, and it's a very highly charged themed podcast, too.
Indeed.
I'm going to take these off.
Okay. Your headphones?
Yeah, I had headphones, and it seemed like a good idea, but they're really good headphones, so I feel like I'm in... I know we sound okay, so
yeah.
I would just prefer to talk.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, well, and I don't even know exactly what spurred this on, but...
Your Facebook conversation.
It was my Facebook conversation, but it was before I read that article, too, so I'm not sure exactly what spurred this on about Star Trek versus Star Wars. We try to stay away from basic nerd things,
yeah,
because we, as anomalies, we try to look at things in a different way and not do the podcast that everybody else does. So I really didn't want to sit here and have a conversation about, well, what do you like better and why? Because I think it can only take about 2 seconds.
Right.
It's Star Trek versus Star Wars, but it's not just about... which do you like better or why necessarily, as it is about what does it say about you? And have you seen Pulp Fiction when mm-hmm. Mia is talking to John Travolta's character? Are you a Beatles person or an Elvis person? Now, Elvis people can like the Beatles and Beatles people can like Elvis. You can't be both. You can only really be one. Are you a Star Trek person or a Star Wars person? A Star Wars person can like Star Trek. A Star Trek person can like Star Wars. But
right.
Somewhere deep down, as much as you may
might
love
like
both.
One a little more than the other.
That there you're still one. Mm-hmm. And I think that you and I have had this conversation before. But not only that, but like, what does it say?
Right. What does it mean?
What does it mean? What does it say about you?
So this isn't really a debate. It's
more
it's
of a philosophical...
philosophical question.
It's opposing of a
it's
philosophical
deep.
Question. Sue described it as an abstract question.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, I'm taking
no,
over.
Go right ahead.
We were very excited because a lot of people got excited about this. I posted it on Facebook and then you also posted on Twitter recently mm-hmm. That we were doing this, and I just kind of put it on Facebook, and it was interesting to me too to see people who are not geeks and how they responded mm-hmm. and then what I know about those people and how that kind of
made
me start form opinions about, well, what kind of person is a Star Wars person? What kind mm-hmm. of person is a Star Trek person? And then on top of everything else, I've been spurred on by a recent Geeks On episode that I listened to. I think it was from the summer,
yeah.
But they had an interview with David Brin, who does a scathing...
I know.
scathing article against
Star Wars.
It's a Star Wars versus Star Trek. And so we also were going to touch on that a little because Jen and I read it slightly differently, which is always good.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we going to do first? Do you want to listen to some...
Let's do that.
Podcasting is hard work.
Know what makes it worth all the effort and encourages us to keep going? Your highly anticipated emails, blog comments, and ratings, of course.
Please remember to tip your anomalous co-hosts with feedback. Lots and lots and lots of feedback.
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
So who do we have first on the clips list?
First we have Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go Tim.
Hey Jen and Angela, it's King Isaac Link, sir. And you guys asked what do we prefer, Star Wars or Star Trek? I like both pretty equally, but I guess if I had to choose, it would have to be Star Wars right now because of the Clone Wars series going on. But otherwise, it'd probably be Star Trek, especially if there's a TV series going on. And what does that say about me? It says I like both equally. I really don't have a strong preference to one or the other. Can also say that I'm indecisive, but that's up to you guys to decide. Anyway, I'm just sitting here with my cat on my shoulder, and I thought I'd give you guys a quick call and leave a voicemail for your show. Been listening for a long time now, and you guys are doing a great job. And, well, that's about it, really. Star Wars by a sliver. Anyway, you guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
You're not indecisive.
No.
You think he's indecisive? No.
You no, can love I both. Mean, he just loves both, and I think...
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's where we start, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where we start, too. I'm sitting here right now looking at my Star Wars lightsaber right next to my Star Trek pizza cutter. So I
is
totally...
Is that what that is? It's
yeah,
a pizza cutter.
It is awesome.
Where do you get one of those? I want
It's
one.
The most epic pizza cutter ever. And as you know, I have a bottle opener,
yes.
too.
Yes, and you have used it.
And
Rinfest.
Oh, we use it. We use it. I keep it on my belt. It's the epic opener. So I understand. And we have a couple more people who were both.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
Joe.
Kenny.
Oh, Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jen and Angela, this is Kenny from California, also the host of Knights of the Guild podcast. Just wanted to leave you a quick message about Star Wars versus Star Trek. I never understand the debate between which is better. I love both of them. Star Wars is what made me fall in love with sci-fi and fantasy when I was 7 years old, watching it in a theater, and... You know, it will always have a special place in my heart because it's the first thing that I can remember falling in love with that was sci-fi fantasy. And Star Trek is a totally different thing. I mean, I totally used to watch the original series as a kid in reruns. And then, you know, when TNG came out and Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise, and I totally fell in love with those too. And I appreciate those totally differently than I do Star Wars. It's also very hard to compare because Star Wars only has 6 movies, while Star Trek has, you know, tons of movies and many, many, many hours of TV series. So there's so much more Star Trek than Star Wars. But for story-wise, you know, they both have their goods and their bads, and I don't know. It's just when people ask me to pick between Star Wars and Star Trek, I just can't because I love them both. I think they're both wonderful. They're both part of my geeky life, and I love and appreciate each one differently. So I can't pick one over the other. It's like picking between my 2 children, which one I love more, and it's impossible to do. I love them both equally for different reasons, and they are both very special to me. So I know that's not going to help with your guys' debate, but that's just my opinion, and I look forward to listening to your guys' podcast. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Kenny.
We agree with you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's why it's so interesting. Joe also had a little trouble between both.
Hey, Jen and Angela, this is Joe Harrison, and first of all, nice to somewhat sort of talk to you, you know, audibly instead of just through texting and all that, twittering and all that. But I just wanted to reply or comment on your question about which do you prefer, Star Trek or Star Wars, and what does that preference say about you? Well, for me, it's I'm a sort of divided a little bit. I know that's kind of like cheating, but here's the thing. Here's how I would explain it. I like Star Wars because it's completely fictional, and you know, I'll explain that a little more in a second, why Star Trek isn't, even though it is. Star Wars is completely fictional. It's like, it's all fantasy. It's so, in that sense, it's like a getaway from reality, because it's just this fun, amazing adventure, and it's just, you really have a good time watching it. Star Trek, on the other hand, I really love because it's based on real things. You know, it's based on Earth's future. Earth's future. So it's almost like this could really happen. So in that sense, I feel like I connect more with the characters in Star Trek, and therefore am able to sort of live their adventures with them. Like, it, you know, maybe sounds kind of cheesy, but like when I watch a show or one of the movies, I really feel like I'm a part of it, because to some degree it feels like, you know, this could really happen in Earth's future. So that's why I would like Star Trek. It's more for that real feel and that real connection you get with it. And then Star Wars, it would be because it's just a fun adventure and a way to sort of help you take a vacation from reality, as it were. So what does that preference say about me, even though there really wasn't a preference in there? Well, honestly, it would just say I'm a very indecisive person, but it would say that I'm a person who likes to look to the future, but also wants to take a vacation from reality, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to say, and look forward to hearing the episode and hearing your guys' thoughts, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
We appreciate everyone's comments. You
yes,
guys
we
have
do.
Really come through for us today.
Yes, definitely.
We got a lot of comments.
We did. It was almost... we were not expecting that.
No.
Now, Casey wrote in,
mm-hmm.
and we'll read hers now. My name is Casey, and I waited in line for 3 hours so that I could get a drawing signed by Felicia Day to give to my fiancé for Christmas, and I am an anomaly. Hey girls, Jen tweeted that you were recording a podcast about Star Trek, Star Wars, and what a fan's preference says about him or her. I love both. While I have forced myself to choose before, I find myself going back and forth, which speaks to me. The characters and ideas behind Star Trek really appeal to me because I'm more of a sci-fi kind of girl, but Star Wars is compelling to me because of the story and the mixture of magic and sci-fi. It's very rare when the combination of the two work, but Star Wars was able to do it. But then you have to take into account how both franchises are handled, and it just becomes a very complicated situation. Star Trek is the better franchise, but Star Wars has a lot of interesting ideas behind it. So what does this say about me as a fan? I'm not sure, especially when you base it on the differences of my geeky friends. I have a few friends who are Star Trek fans and despise Star Wars. They seem to prefer the more traditional forms of magic and fantasy, and never the twain shall meet. Then I have the friends who are Star Wars fans and prefer their sci-fi and fantasy to mix and match, pick and choose favorite elements from each. The only real difference I've noticed between the two groups is that the Star Trek friends I have show no interest in Harry Potter. I don't know where it comes from, but I only hope it's within my small group of friends. Well, that really does make me the anomaly of my group, huh? My bi fandom just opens me up to everything, I guess, and I think that might be the best way to look at it. Looking forward to the next show, ladies. Love you both. Casey. These are a couple of our people that said Star Trek. Kevin, Rick, and Meds. We're going to play these for you right now.
Hello, ladies. It's Kevin Batchelder from the Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV podcast. Hope you're both doing well. Thought I'd take my shot at the question that Jen put up earlier today on Twitter about the preference between Star Wars and Star Trek and, you know, what does it say about us and so forth. Wow, I think maybe the chicken versus the egg discussion might be able to get a more definitive answer than trying to do this one, but I'll take a shot from my point of view, and I think that's what we each have to do, because I don't think there is a right or wrong answer, or I don't think you can really, in a very analytical state, put one above the other. I'll do it from what it meant to me. Star Trek, the original series, was on reruns when I was very young, probably just starting to get into the teens. Yes, I am that old, so it was only canceled for a couple of years before I was watching it after school with things like, you know, Gilligan's Island and Scooby-Doo and other things, and this was so different. It really, I still remember seeing City on the Edge of Forever for the first time, and what that did to my brain, getting me to think about possibilities and such, was just incredible. But then not long after, as you know, we had Star Wars, and in my case, Empire Strikes Back came out probably when I was very late teens, and I was so much of a fan wanting to see it then, I actually took the ride about an hour into Boston for the first time to actually stand in a line to see a movie, and I was amazed at all the other fans that were there. This is pre-internet, pre-email. I didn't have many close friends that were fans of sci-fi, so to go someplace and see hundreds of other people who were just as crazy and passionate as I was very amazing, and, you know, led to things like attending conventions and podcasting and online forums many years later. But so each of these shows did something different for me as far as opening up my brain a bit to think about things, but also showing me that I wasn't alone in how I approached some of the geekdom and things. So what they say about you, I guess, as you say there, each of them had a different thing for me. But sometimes it just comes down, some folks are big movie fans and will then lean more towards the Star Wars, and some, like me, TV junkies, will probably lean a little harder to Star Trek and TOS. So it's not really a strong answer, but then again, I think everyone has to give it their own gut check answer on that, because I don't think you really want to analyze this. I don't think it can be. So appreciate the excellent question. Looking forward to hearing everybody else's replies, and appreciate all the hard work you folks put into the podcast. Take care.
Hi there, ladies. This is Rick Moyer from the podcast Taken With You, up here in Aberdeen, Washington, on the West Coast. And you asked the question, kind of threw the question out there, what do we prefer, Star Trek or Star Wars? And I have to say that I like both quite a bit. There are benefits to both, you know. But I think if one was going to win out, it'd probably be Star Trek for me, only because there's so much more Star Trek and so many more series and characters that came kind of sprawled out of it. And I enjoy that, the Trek universe, quite a bit. And they're still making movies, which is great. Of course, I guess they are making Clone Wars cartoons, but that's not quite the same. So I'd have to go with Star Trek, only because I think it's a little bit more, no offense, Star Wars fans, because I'm a Star Wars fan. I think Star Trek's a little bit more intelligent. And the plot lines and stuff. I mean, there's Spock's brain, which we don't want to talk about. But I would have to say that for the most part, Star Trek doesn't ever insult my intelligence. Star Wars, on the other hand, I think probably because Lucas went for a younger audience, sometimes can be ridiculous, but that's just my opinion. Okay, so there you go. Trek wins for me. God bless you, ladies. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast. And so what's my preference between Star Wars and Star Trek? Difficult one, because I do love them both. But I think I'm probably going to have to lean more towards Star Trek, I think. If I look at my DVD collection, which I am at the moment, obviously I've got all the Star Wars films. Probably don't watch the prequels at all. I do watch New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Though, if I look at all the Star Trek films, I think I can watch all of them without hesitation. So that says it all, really, to me. I love the TV series of Star Trek, all of them. TOS, TNG, Voyager, DS9. I've only just got into Enterprise. But I do love all the films. I think they're all fantastic. Can't say the same about Star Wars. Preference-wise, though, what does it say about me? I'm not too sure, if I'm honest with you. Maybe you can tell me. Do I prefer the fact that the films are better to a certain degree? You know, the 6 Star Wars films, and the only 2 of them really are stand out. As I said, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back. You know, Return of the Jedi is okay, but it suffers from that infamous problem with 80s films. Look at Temple of Doom. You know, it's it should be fantastic, but it suffers from that 80s problem of making things look like they are made in the 1980s. The Star Trek films don't really have that. Some of the effects are a bit crap, but there you go. I don't really know if it says a preference about me more than anything. Maybe you can tell me. But anyway, I'm heading towards the Star Trek genre. Okay, take care. Can't wait to hear the podcast. Meds out.
And this last one is from Jamie. And I really like the why did I say that?
It's James.
You can cut me. I'm sorry.
Okay, Bond.
I wrote everything really fast. James. That's my husband's name, but we call him Jim. Okay, this is from James Fitzgerald. And I really liked this.
I do.
Here, we'll let y'all listen to it, and then we'll talk about it.
Hey, Jen and Angela. This is Jamie, James on the forums. I'm calling in regards to your Star Trek versus Star Wars question. And I know that's one of the ultimate geek questions, Star Wars or Star Trek. But for me, that's one of the questions that I like the least. Because for me, it's asking, you know, here's your two lifelong friends. The three of you do everything together. Which one's your best friend? Well, how do you choose when they've both given you so much? And so for me, I have to have them both. I can't choose one or the other, because I feel if I chose Star Wars, I'd be saying goodbye to 28 seasons of amazing TV shows and 11 mostly awesome movies that have entertained me for hundreds of hours. But if I chose Star Trek, I feel I'm saying goodbye to hundreds of hours spent on some of my favorite video games that have ever been made. So for me, it's not really an option. I can't take one or the other. I have to have them both. And as far as what I feel that says about me, there's aspects to both that I have to have in my life. For instance, with Star Trek, I love the exploration aspects and the positive outlook on the future of humanity that it provides. Whereas with Star Wars, I love that slightly mystical outlook and that reliance on faith and a calling to the greater good, or some power that's beyond yourself. And so the aspects of both of those are things that I value in my life and that I have to have. So I'm very much looking forward to the show tonight and hearing what everybody else's thoughts are.
I like what he said about the video games, because I completely agree. And I think it's because of the magic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have more fun in video games where magic happens.
Plus, the Star Wars games I've played are just better than the Star Trek games.
They really just are.
No one has really played, created a awesome Star Trek game yet.
Except for the Mac 2E when I was 3 years old. I'm just kidding. Does anybody remember that Star Trek game? Because I remember playing it when I was really little, and it was like one of the only games, and you know, the little Klingon would come and get you, and it was very exciting for me. But not really a high-tech game, mm-hmm. but as far as games I like to play now. And you were going to comment about his comment about faith.
Yes, that's why I like Star Wars. I mean, I don't prefer it more than Star Trek, but that's my beef with what David Brin said about Star Wars. He doesn't get it.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
But
yeah, but no, I agree. I agree. I liked his argument because I really enjoyed the idea of faith and that's what Star Wars brings into it.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Twitter comments.
Yes.
Do you want to? Did you finish all the audio comments?
I did.
Okay. Wait, there's another.
Hello, Jen and Angela and everybody else out there in Anomaly Podcast land. This is Robbie Chastain, formerly of Star Wars and Beyond. And I'm here for a moment to talk about what Jen and Angela have been talking about the Star Wars versus Star Trek. And I gotta be honest with you, if there's one thing in fandom that I just absolutely cannot stand, it is Star Wars versus Star Trek, or should I say, versus anything. I don't know, and I don't mean just the thing like, what would happen if the Enterprise faced off against a Star Destroyer, this and that kind of stuff? I mean, that's goofy enough, but what really gets under my skin is the fact that there are some people out there in fandom who think that you can't be a Trekkie and like Star Wars, or you can't be a Star Wars fanatic and like Star Trek. My answer to that, it would be, or question, would be, why? That doesn't make no sense to me. I remember Trek back in like 1974 or 75 when I was real little. I mean, and so, you know, and I kind of vaguely remember Star Wars coming out in 77. So, you know, Star Trek especially has been a lifelong passion, and Star Wars is all but, you know, even though there have been, I guess I could safely say, off periods for Star Wars, but I don't understand why there is this vehement feeling, this hatred among people. It's like, I remember seeing a video back when, I think it was when Episode 1 was coming out. The people were in line for the movie, and a guy was going up and down with a bullhorn saying things like, Star Wars sucks! Star Trek rules! Man! And people were yelling at him and everything. And man, if I'd been in that line, I'd have throttled him. You know, just for the embarrassment, you know, for every other Star Trek fan. You know, and there probably was some in the audience. Whatever happened to an infinite diversity and infinite combinations, Trekkies? And I'm sure that the Jedi Code somewhere preaches tolerance. Are we going to keep being hypocritical? Or are we going to believe these tenets that we're supposed to believe? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with preferring one over the other when you've got, like, some sort of legitimate reason. Like, say, somebody might say, I like the thought that Star Trek is more hopeful for the future. And maybe, you know, and Star Wars isn't so much. Star Wars is kind of, it's almost a downer in some ways. Or maybe somebody will say, I like the good and evil stories about Star Wars and this and that and the pirates and the smugglers and all this kind of stuff more than I do like in Star Trek. You know, things like that. You know, if you had a legitimate reason, but just because you can't like Star Trek because you like Star Wars or one or the other, I think it's stupid. I think it's ridiculous. I think there's plenty of room for both Star Wars and Star Trek in fandom. Good grief, if you listen to any of my show, you'd remember and realize that I talked about Star Trek almost as much as I did Star Wars at times. So don't tell me I can't be a Star Trek fan and like Star Wars or vice versa. Because I'll laugh at you.
Oh, we need to make sure. I totally forgot about Sue. She also said she preferred Star Trek.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Sue. I'm calling because you guys are recording a podcast tonight. Really interesting topic, what preferring Star Wars or Star Trek says about you. I have always been... What's the word? Well, I've always preferred Star Trek. I came to it at a younger age because of my older brother. And basically kind of grew up with the Next Generation, and it was always what I preferred. Star Wars I like, don't get me wrong. I'm not a hater. But it just, the universe doesn't appeal to me as much. I'm not sure if it's because they're constantly at war or there's constant ongoing conflict, or if it's like dirtier or grittier, but Star Trek, specifically the Next Generation, has always been what resonated with me the most. Maybe does it mean you're more optimistic? Does it mean that you like things cleaner or have that kind of Gene Roddenberry perfect vision of the future? No idea. That's what you guys are there for, right? But I'm really excited to hear this episode and glad you're doing this kind of abstract topic. And I'm looking forward to hear what everybody else has to say about it, too. In terms of the whole gritty thing, I think that's why I didn't like Deep Space Nine as much. I know everybody says it's a great show. I'll admit that it's a fantastic show with some fantastic writing. I know it's a lot of people's favorites of the Star Trek universe, but it just didn't appeal to me as much. I kind of enjoyed the lighter, funnier stories of the Next Generation and sometimes even of Voyager Enterprise, and also the kind of theming of episodes where it really made you think about a philosophical question towards the end of it. Like, what is it really saying? The kind of fable lesson thing that Gene Roddenberry started in the original series that carried on into Next Generation, I feel, but I think got lost in some of the later series. So I just ended and then came back again. So I'm really going to stop now and go back to work because I am here for another 3 hours tonight. But you guys have a great time recording. I'm excited for this episode, and I will talk to you both soon. Bye.
We appreciate the fact that you called us during work.
Yes.
You rock.
And we won't tell anybody, we promise, except for all of the people listening right now.
Dozens of people all over the world.
Dozens of people all over the world. Okay.
Garth emailed us. His comments about morality and the fact that Star Trek's too moral for him. And we'll touch on
and
that.
And we are going to talk about that as well.
And then we got a few tweets. Kimster says, I only prefer Star Trek because it has so many faces, while Star Wars just has the Skywalker Solo lineage. And then, how do you say this? Injolrar66. He says, it will always be Star Wars for me due to the exposure at such a young age. Then Riley, who does the Bothan Report, he says, I think what he was trying to say, it's so hard with Twitter because you can only put in so many words in each post. I think what he was trying to say is that as a Star Wars fan, he thinks that Star Trek has a naive sense of hope. I guess, of the future and how great it's going to be. And so he would prefer Star Wars over Star Trek because of that. So, and then there was Andrew from the EU Cantina who said he preferred Star Wars because he likes his sci-fi soft.
Yes, and that's something that's something good to bring up, and that's what I was going to kind of start with. At its core, Star Trek is hard sci-fi, and Star Wars is soft sci-fi.
That's true.
And so it's almost unfair, and we've talked about this before when we've touched on this topic in other podcasts. It's really hard to compare them because one is really, I mean, Star Wars is really a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It happens to be set in space, but really it's a fantasy topic. It's soft sci-fi, whereas Star Trek is all about
the technology.
The technology and the Heisenberg science. Compensators and the you
transporter
know,
pads.
Like putting too much air in a balloon, you know.
Drive. Most of it is somewhat based on things that have been conceptualized and in some cases have become reality.
Yes.
Like doors that open.
And it's based on and considers, let's say considers real
iPad.
Physics. What?
The iPad,
yes. The iPad. I have the tricorder app on my iPhone, and it's so fun. The only thing is that it's not randomized enough, so when you scan, it's always like, scan, humanoid, male, Vulcan. So it's like always the same, unless you have it on for a long time.
Right.
So it's not sufficiently randomized for me. But anyway, that's so off the topic. So do we want to go into what our preferences are and why?
We could do that.
You go first.
It's really hard for me to choose, but like most of you, I have a hard time choosing between the two. There are aspects of both that I really like. I do like the hope that Star Trek offers, and I also am a pretty orderly person. It's clean. Orderly. Picard rocks. I would love to be a Vulcan. There's just a lot of things that are appealing to me. I would go into more detail, but we'll touch on that later. And then Star Wars, what I like about that is, again, the faith aspect. There's something bigger out there. It's not controlling people. I'm not going to say midichlorians have anything to do with that. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, we just ignore that.
No.
You just ignore that.
It has to do with the thing that binds everyone together.
You, the Earth, the Rock.
Right. And in the end, Vader is redeemed. And that's another beef that I have with David Brin.
And I didn't read it that way, which is another interesting thing.
Well, we'll get to his thing later, but I believe that anyone can be redeemed. I know not everyone is a person of faith, and I respect that, but that's what I believe. That's what I love about Star Wars, of the original trilogy, and that the underdog can win.
Yes.
So, but anyway, it's a hard decision between the two, but I'm going to have to go with Star Trek. And everyone was saying that there's so much more of Star Trek than there is of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But they forgot to mention the books on both sides. I am an avid reader, and there are a large number of books in the Star Wars universe and the Star Trek universe that delve deeper into, you know, different avenues that the shows and the movie were trying to take. And that was something that Smarty Librarian said on the Keep Sound podcast. You get to spend more time with the characters, and that's so true. So if you haven't started reading Star Wars novels or Star Trek novels, get into them. It doesn't matter which one you pick up. Just do it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
If you like the universes. Well, yeah. I would have to say that I agree with you, and it's one of those things where gun to my head... Which one do I like better? And I definitely have to go with Star Trek. But just by a nose, because I kind of consider myself, and we kind of started this as anomalies, you know, we're bi sci-fi, you know, we really don't, you know, I really don't want to consider myself a Star Trek person. Right. But I would have to say that, you know, again, gun to my head, definitely I would lean towards Star Trek. Mm-hmm. However, I would like to also point out that I do love Star Trek. I do love Star Wars. I also, to Casey's point, I like Harry Potter. So I am a Star Trek and Star Wars person that also happens to like Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter. I gobbled it up. It's like the only book I ever read, except for I'm doing Wheel of Time and I'm doing really good. I finished another chapter today. You should be proud of me.
Woot.
I even like my high fantasy. Mm-hmm. So to that point, I like my Lord of the Rings and I like all that. So I enjoy fantasy and hard fantasy and hard sci-fi both. And I remember watching a Star Trek, you know, the history of Star Trek or how Star Trek changed the world that the History Channel did.
I love that channel.
Or it was, I think it was How William Shatner Changed the World. Oh, yeah. So that was kind of, and William Shatner narrated it. And if you've never seen it, if you can try to find it, it's hilarious. It's so funny and it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And William Shatner narrates it and stuff. And he, and it takes you through from TOS all the way to through Voyager and Enterprise, and talks about the whole series and how everything came together and then how it inspired things like the iPod. They have real scientists that have been exploring teleportation and all because they watched, you know, the guy that invented the cell phone. He saw the communicator on Star Trek, and that is like where he got the idea. Right. So it's, you know, and the guy who invented the iPod. So it's so neat because Star Trek, because of that hard sci-fi basis, just inspires people. And I think what I like about it is that it is good. It is moral. It puts you in a place where there is, because there's so many stories about dystopia, about how we're, everything is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes,
that I really like the idea of
Battlestar.
Battlestar, exactly. It's like, here's the worst of the worst of what humankind has to offer. And Star Trek is about the best of the best. And as it got going, and when you watch the How William Shatner thing, that's interesting, is that as Ron Moore got involved and more people got involved that were not Gene Roddenberry, you started getting, and then DS9,
Deep Space Nine,
you started getting more of these dystopian, this is how things can get you, this is how the world, this is how technology is bad, this is how things are going to, you know, in the Borg and all this stuff. And so... But I kind of like that original Gene Roddenberry. I mean, call me, I'm definitely, especially right now, not in any kind of situation where I think everything is sunshine and roses. In fact, just the opposite. But I think that there has to be some sort of hope. And Star Trek is about hope, which is funny because Star Wars
A New Hope.
Is called A New Hope. But yeah. I think it's more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more inclusive to like the whole... I don't know. So the whole civilization that
everyone gets to, everyone for the most part gets along in the Federation.
Yes.
If you're a handicapped person, a la Geordi, there's a place for you. If you
Even
are
if you're
half
a woman.
Black and half white, there is a story that explains that.
Yes, exactly.
And says how stupid it is to be racist against
exactly.
you know, the half black, half white person if you're black on one side and white on the other, whatever. I don't know. It's
with a star-bellied sneeches.
Yes.
Yes.
But I agree. That's a very good point. But one argument against Star Trek
I understand.
Is that it is very politically correct.
It is.
And sometimes it's a little preachy.
Yes.
But I think that it's good to have a story where someone is trying to make a point.
Yes.
It's not just escapism. There is a point to it. And some of the episodes were fun. Like one of my favorite episodes that was just plain fun was Fistful of Datas, which there is a review that I did, a video review that I did on YouTube that I posted on Twitter today.
That's
I'll put it
one.
In the blog so that y'all can see it. You know, there are some shows like that.
But they also, and I've thought this too, is that you also, dealing with the movie versus a TV show, in 1 or 2 years, you get... 2 hours of movie, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say. And in 2 years, you get like 50 hours of Star Trek. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's like, I do.
So you get more opportunity to explain the characters and to be, and you really feel like you know the characters more. And also, you know, and this, we discussed this. This is something that I brought up on a podcast. I think our last podcast or the one before, about how my husband had not really been a Star Trek fan. He had never really, you know, he likes sci-fi and stuff like that. And he reads Orson Scott Card. And, you know, so he'd been more into books. And, of course, Star Wars, because, like, all young boys our age, you know, right, all like Star Wars. But so he wasn't, it's not like he didn't want to watch Star Trek. He just never really, nobody really introduced it to him, mm-hmm, until he met me. And he started watching it in the past few years. And he said, you know, when you take both of them as a whole, even though he didn't grow up with it, he kind of leaned towards Star Trek too, and how the whole thing was treated as opposed to Star Wars, and how, you know, if you take just TOS and just New Hope and Empire, and that's all you knew, then yeah, Star Wars wins, mm-hmm, by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. But then when you start adding TNG and some of the movies, and, you know, when you start adding that kind of stuff together, and then you also add minuses, episode 1, 2, and 3, and maybe Jedi, you know, you start getting to a point where it's like, well, this is really great and I love it so much, but maybe Star Trek as a whole has been treated a little nicer by the people who are making it.
Right. Well, I've already made the point that I like Star Trek better, but I feel like I need to play the devil's advocate.
That's okay.
Because Star Wars is kind of getting a bum rap.
Oh, right? No, that's,
but
okay.
But not from us. But because we're going to talk about David Brin and he's ripping Star Wars apart, in my opinion. I mean, yes, Star Trek has a lot more television to offer.
Right.
But Star Wars has a vast number of expanded universe books and comics. Video games to offer.
Oh, yeah.
Where the stories that you crave that aren't there as far as the movies go are picked up in printed form.
Right.
And in, you know, computer form.
And so. And I wasn't saying that necessarily against Star Wars in general. I was just saying that that's just it's a missed opportunity.
Right.
Because of the different formats. And yes, that just is a technical thing.
Right.
It's just because of the formats,
right,
are different.
Right.
And not saying that that's good or bad. It's just that, well, that opportunity,
right,
was kind of lost.
Well, now seems like they are switching. Star Trek is returning to the big screen, and
yes,
Star Wars is on the small screen,
mm-hmm,
a la the Clone Wars. And there has been talk about a live-action Star Wars series, which seems like it's in.
Right.
They just cannot seem to get it together because their vision for it is so grand.
Right.
But what do you think the Star Trek franchise, as it stands today, is headed? I don't know that there was any type of deep message in the Star Trek movie that we saw recently.
No.
And although it was fun,
yeah,
it's kind of an escapism thing.
It is.
And people who are avid Star Wars fans who don't like Star Trek, like Andrew,
mm-hmm,
from the EU Cantina, claim to like that movie because of that.
Well, first of all, they have to make money.
Yes.
And so they're
and
gonna,
offer it to new people,
and they have to offer it to new
fans.
People. So I feel like, you know, they have to do what they have to do. I still haven't seen every episode of DS9 and Voyager yet, and so it's like, to me, I'm saving those things,
right,
so that there's still Star Trek that I haven't seen.
You're
I
savoring
do that.
It.
I do. I'm doing that on purpose in a way, so that way there's still Star Trek I haven't seen,
mm-hmm,
yet, because I like to be surprised, and so to me, having what I have already. And I watch my episodes over and over again of TNG, and I would definitely go back and watch TOS again. But that's selfish for me, because they can't make money off of me rewatching the videos that I already own. So
right,
things are dropping off, and that makes me sad. And
mm-hmm,
the idea that that something would inject excitement back into the brand, and now I sound like a marketing person, but basically that's what they're doing. If they're injecting excitement back in the brand, then that means that's more likely that there's going to be a Star Trek convention close to us, because people are getting excited about it again, then I'm willing for the franchise to take a little bit of a hit,
yeah,
and be more showy,
mm-hmm,
so that I can have more of what I already love about it.
Mm-hmm.
And does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Well, we kind of got off track a little bit. Sorry. Okay. That was my fault.
Sorry.
What should we say, what we think it says about you if you prefer one over the other?
Sure.
I mean, please know that this is just a philosophical discussion. We're not trying to put you in a little box.
No. One of the people that did a voicemail, I can't remember who it was, said something about how it's hard to, there's no right answer. That was Kevin. There is no right answer, and that's the point. It's fun to talk about because there is no right answer.
Right.
And there isn't. Now, there is a right answer to the question, which Star Wars movie do you like best? but we'll talk about
You mean
about
movie
that.
Trilogy?
No, which Star Wars movie do you like the best? It's Empire is the correct answer, Jen. Empire is the correct answer. But it's comedy because it's an opinion question and there's
right.
a right. Anyway. And the thing is that I'm definitely a Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that before.
And we do bash the prequels a lot.
But
there are some redeeming qualities.
Like the lightsaber battles.
Lightsaber battles, the choreography, the costuming, the music, as always.
Oh, yeah,
it's
the music
eye
is
candy
great.
Big time, as it we've
is.
Said before.
And I'm sure that my son will enjoy it when he's 8. No, we're so mean. We're so mean.
So what does it say? What does it say?
I think that Star Wars... Mm-hmm. And this is I got kind of from Facebook. I think Star Wars has a more universal appeal. I think you do not have to be a geek to enjoy Star Wars. And I think that's good. I think the fact that it reaches out to everyone kind of and everyone can enjoy it and it has more of a universal appeal. I think that's good because it's more outreach. It's better for that reason. And so you can be kind of a quote unquote normal person and still and like Star Wars. Yes, you can be a fangirl or a fan guy and like Star Wars at the same time, but it has a more universal appeal. So I think it means that you believe in fantasy, you believe in things
magic.
That are greater than yourself, you believe in magic. It's faith-based and it's a little more suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Casey's thing about the Harry Potter thing, I think Harry Potter also does the same thing that Star Wars does, is like that one person, that one, you
the
know,
chosen one.
That chosen one who's going to come and save us all.
Mm-hmm.
That there is something to that, and there's a grand epic fantasy, and even David Brin talks about this, is that he even says in his article, he doesn't like it, but he admits that it works. He admits that people are moved.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to be moved because it's a grand story, and grand stories move people.
Right,
kings and queens and
chosen
ones. You know, a farm boy who becomes a hero. I mean, that's epic. That's awesome. And I think if you're more likely to enjoy that type of thing if you like Star Wars. And
yes.
I don't know. It's not just my opinion.
No, yeah, I agree. I think that's true, and that, you know, the people who like Star Wars maybe believe that one person can change the world, you know, and the people that like Star Trek believe that you work together to change the universe, you know?
I like that.
It's a cooperative thing, I guess, and in Star Wars, I think you have to believe that there is an evil that can corrupt everyone.
Whereas in Star Trek, on that same notion, it's more of the reason we don't get along is because we don't understand each other. And if
right.
we could just understand each other, then we could get along.
Yes. And that's something, this is just an observation, and it's not, I'm not saying that it's absolutely set in stone. I'm just saying on the boards that I've frequented, namely Star Wars Fanworks, Treks and Sci-Fi, and our own boards, that the number of people that I've met who say Star Wars without a doubt all the way, buddy.
Yeah.
They seem to be more conservative.
Really?
Yes.
I would think the opposite.
Yes. Now, there are some conservatives who prefer Star Trek. Don't mean to label anyone. But it's just an observation that I've had.
Hmm.
You know? This is another thing that I don't necessarily believe, because like I said, I prefer Star Trek. And I hope that one day we can be like that, that no one is working for money. They're right. doing things because they love what
And
they
I realize
do.
That is the most that is utopian, absurd thing. But I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
That
I
is
agree.
Something to look forward to that, you know, to yeah. to have as a goal, but
that we could evolve to the point where, yeah.
Not the way we are now. We would have to be evolved.
Yeah, we would have to evolve emotionally.
Yes.
To past greed,
yeah,
and be able to work towards a common, like you said, work together, mm-hmm. working together towards a common goal, and have the hierarchy just be a means of organization,
yeah,
and not really be a power grab,
right. And Star Trek is often called a socialistic society, you know, being. Right.
Well, it's a military-industrial complex.
It is.
I mean, basically. But...
And that's what's ironic about it. You have this society that has progressed so far from where they were as far as being, you know, a violent culture. And I'm talking about Earth specifically,
mm-hmm.
And the Vulcans. They were violent. They've evolved past that. They've become a people who strive to learn and help people, and that's their goal, you know, is to learn and help. That's what they do. Where was I going with it? I'm talking about irony. They put that package in the military, which I have all the love in the world for the military. They do relief efforts and stuff, but primarily at this moment in time, they are defense.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Right.
They keep us safe and they protect our freedoms. But in Star Trek, the military has a different role. They still protect, but it's not as frequently. You know,
right.
What
it's for exploration.
It's for exploration. So it's kind of like a band of scientists with a banner of the military. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Under the banner of the military, which is kind of an odd combination
yes.
to me. I don't know.
No, I think that's good, but that's the whole point. That's why we're having the conversation.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the David Brin article?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little too long to read on the podcast.
We're not going
to
read it.
Can you tell people where you found it?
All I did was type in David Brin Star Trek versus Star Wars, and it'll come up.
David Brin is spelled B-R-I-N, yeah. And he was the author of the Song of...
Well, he was the author of The Postman.
The Song of Ice and...
Ice and Fire? No.
Fire?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, we'll look him up on Wikipedia.
Yeah. He's an author.
He's an author.
I haven't read any of his stuff.
He's a hard science fiction author, and he wrote The Postman, which was a Kevin Costner film.
Yes.
About a... Anyway, so... And I was turned on to him through the Geeks On podcast, and then he wrote this article actually in 1999 after he went and saw episode one. And... The first thing I want to ask you, because
yes.
I actually agree with a lot of what he has to say, which is interesting because you read it much more negatively than I did.
Well, again, I mean, I had this on my desk at work and I couldn't read it while I was actually working. So I didn't complete the article. So it's a little hard of me. I mean, it would be wrong of me to judge it without having read the whole thing. But what I have read, I disagreed with.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Because this is the first thing I want to pose to you.
Okay.
And this is the question that the whole article kind of comes down to that I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Is knowing what you know about the Star Wars universe
yes.
and the Star Trek universe. Yeah. Where would you rather be a Joe Schmo?
A Joe Schmo.
Which universe would you rather be just some random dude, you know, living on a planet somewhere? Which universe would be... better for
I
you.
Would say Star Trek, but the crystalline entity and the Borg might get me.
But, you know, barring... I mean, because that could happen to anybody. I mean, like, something tragic could happen to anybody. You can get a car wreck.
And the Doomsday Machine. There's a list of things that you
well,
could... The Cardassians.
That notwithstanding,
okay.
As far as just Joe Schmo, from what you know
yes.
about each universe,
yes.
where are you likely to
I would
live
say
out your days?
I have to say Star Trek, because the Imperial... stormtroopers, you know, they'll come regulate you and ask you for your papers and hassle you about your droids.
That's all, because to me that was what the article
I
was talking
understand
about,
that point, but
which one?
But he's super critical of Star Wars, and I don't believe that is fair. And I'll just, if I could read a couple of excerpts from his. First of all, his title is Star Wars Despots versus Star Trek Populists. And the subtitle is, Why is Lucas peddling an elitist, anti-democratic agenda under the guise of an escapist fun?
Okay.
Of escapist fun.
Dear Snowy.
Hi, Russell.
Snow.
The snow, Daddy.
Deer scared.
Deer scared?
Because he's got a mouthful of deer.
Oh.
Come here, buddy. Let's go downstairs. Mom is busy.
Sorry.
Something about snow and deer's being scared.
Yeah, something about deer being scared. Okay, please go.
Yeah. I boycotted Episode 1 Phantom Menace for an entire week. Why? What's to boycott? Isn't Star Wars good old-fashioned sci-fi? Harmless fun? Some people call it eye candy. A chance to drop into childhood and punt your adult cares away for 2 hours, dwelling in a lavish universe where good and evil are vividly drawn without all the inconvenient distinctions, that cluttered daily life. Got a problem? Cleave it in half with a lightsaber. Wouldn't you love just once in your life to dive a fast little ship into your worst enemy's stronghold and set off a chain reaction, blowing up the whole megala from within its rotten core while you streak away into safety at the speed of light? It's just a nifty notion that it happens in 3 out of 4 Star Wars flicks. Anyway, I make a good living writing science fiction novels and movies, so Star Wars ought to be a great busman's holiday, right? One of the problems with so-called light entertainment today is that somehow, amid all the gaudy special effects, people tend to lose track of simple things, like story and meaning. They stop noticing the moral lessons the director is trying to push. Yet these things matter. Which I agree with. Yes, they do. By now, it's grown clear that George Lucas has an agenda, one that he takes very seriously. After 4 Star Wars films, alarm bells should have gone off, even among those who don't even look for morals in movies. When the chief feature distinguishing good from evil is how pretty the characters are, it's a clue that maybe the whole saga deserves a second look. Just what Bill of goods are being sold between the frames. Elites have an inherent right to arbitrary rule. Common citizens needn't be consulted. They may only choose which elite to follow.
I think that's interesting.
Yes, it is. Good elites should act on their subjective whims without evidence, argument, or accountability. And I don't think that that happened in Star Wars, but I will continue. Any amount of sin can be forgiven if you are important enough. That wasn't said either.
Okay.
True leaders are born. It's genetic. The right to rule is inherited.
Okay.
I don't remember that being really said either.
Well, so the idea that even Luke is, you know, is Vader's son. So everything, it's all these, like, great people. And it's because Luke, and it's kind of like the Harry Potter thing, too. Yeah, he's born to be great, and it's cool to watch because he doesn't know it right away, but still, it's, like, genetically in him to be the chosen one. If you back up to the thing that he said about the, really, you have to choose between the two groups of elitists.
Yeah.
Instead of being in a cooperative situation. In the Star Wars universe, pretty much every institution is corrupt. No matter what.
In the Star Wars universe?
In the Star Wars universe.
Even the Republic?
The
Senate?
Yeah, even the Republic, because they talk about going back to, if you go back to Episode 1, the Republic is already starting to be corrupt. And that it's so corruptible that that a Sith Lord can be in there messing things around and that they don't even know it. And it's being used against them. You know, and then you watch the episodes, and this does not include episodes 2 and 3, because they hadn't been made yet. But if you go to 2 and 3, you know, they're at that one, the scene where Amidala's like, you know, and that's how democracy dies, with a sea of applause or something like that. Because the institution has failed. The institution of the democracy has failed, because they all voted to make him, you know, and George Lucas is saying, the way that we are doing things doesn't work. And really what you need is an inspired leader, somebody who's better than you, to take over and tell you what to do because they're better than you. And if the Star Trek universe, on the other hand, says, you know, the institution is basically a good place, and that, yes, there's going to be corruption. Yes, there's going to be things where people screw up, but that basically, you know, the group gets together and they figure out how to fix it. And that's why it's utopian in a way, because it assumes that everybody has your best interest at heart. That, you know, if you talk to the Admiral of Starfleet Command, that he or she is basically a good person, and that if there is corruption, it gets rooted out very quickly. You know, you have one episode and boom. That is what I got from what he's saying. And I'm not saying that I agree with every single thing, and I don't want to say that I want to go against Star Wars, and this did not turn me on Star Wars at all. I still enjoy Star Wars immensely. I'm just saying that I see his point.
Well, what I was going to say was that's what it became, but in the original trilogy, the whole point was that they were overthrowing the corruption.
Right.
The rebellion was basically the people overthrowing
right.
the corrupt government.
Right.
So I don't see how, you know, if you go through the saga the way George Lucas wants you to now, where
right.
the old trilogy is last, it winds up correcting itself. You know what I
right.
mean? So in the end, the people take back
the
control.
Mm-hmm.
They overthrow the despot. That, I think, is where his criticism is failed. The other thing where he says any amount of sin can be forgiven if you're important enough, I don't think that the reason Vader was saved was because he was Anakin Skywalker, the chosen one.
Okay.
He was saved because he made a decision not to follow the Emperor anymore. He made the decision to turn from evil and help his son, who was on the side of good. And that's what saved him. He redeemed himself by turning from evil, by renouncing that.
Yeah.
So that's what saved him, not because he was the chosen one. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes sense.
So that's what I disagreed with. And, you know, he has the right to his opinion, but to me it was evident that this is not a man who believes the same thing I do at the core. So that was where my biggest complaint with him was. But I agree that with, you know, which universe would you rather live in? Would you like to be in a society where you're constantly under the thumb of a dictatorship? So I wouldn't want to live in that society at all.
But see, that's why this is good. This is a good episode, because it's not just about which one do you like better.
Right.
It's a whole debate about what each one says about our society in
right.
general. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's an interesting podcast topic. And there is no right answer, again.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, except for the fact that I did say my counter leans just slightly towards Star Trek. That's not to say I don't still love Star
mm-hmm.
Wars. You know, I've dressed like Princess Leia.
That's right. Yes. I would love to be Jedi.
And yeah, but see, it would be awesome
but
to be a
thing,
Jedi.
Oh, he did say that Yoda was evil.
Yes, he does. I don't know that I necessarily agree.
No.
Because, did you need to read the whole thing?
Again, this
though,
is a man who doesn't believe in what I believe. Because he said that Yoda is the most evil creature that George Lucas could ever have invented.
Yes.
And that at the end of Return of the Jedi, when he appears as a blue glowy, he hopes that fire reflected on him is hell. And because his point on Geeks on Podcast that we heard him say, when he says, try not do or do not, there is no try, Luke should have said, to hell with you, buddy. Because that's the way kids learn. And I agree with that. And this is something that I like that Yoda said, was with you, it always cannot be done, because he does not have the faith to do it. It can't be done.
Right.
So if he just believed that he could do it, believed that he has the power to lift something out of the water of the swamp, like
mm-hmm.
that it can be done. He said, size matters not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also, you know, the core theme of Star Wars, that the little guy can come in and the farm boy
mm-hmm.
who grew up in the desert can change the universe.
Right.
You know, that's the philosophy of Star Wars. And that's what Yoda was communicating. That doesn't make him evil.
No, and so, again, I don't necessarily agree with every single thing
right,
that you possibly said in the article. I just thought it was interesting because it's interesting to bring up, and I'm kind of embarrassed that I had never read it before because it seems like something I should have obviously
read. It's a good one to read.
And I definitely think anyone who has pondered this question, mm-hmm. and also we've talked about this before that we don't like to talk about politics on the show, but that I do enjoy politics very much, and it does go into politics in general.
Right.
And like the idea of what George Lucas feels about society and how that reflects, and then the idea of what Gene Roddenberry feels about society. But I think it also goes back to, you know, on a more basic level as far as fandom, mm-hmm. is that there's a mood that I'm in to watch Star Trek. There's a mood that I'm in to watch Star Wars. There's also a mood that I'm in to watch or to read Douglas Adams. I mean, that is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. I mean, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is very silly sci-fi.
Right.
But that's the intention. The intention is to be silly. The intention is, yes, I'm going to put this fish in your ear and you're going to be able to understand all the languages. Well, that makes complete sense. Perfect. Awesome. You know, but it's like, that's okay. Because that universe has set up that situation. And so I think that that's what it is if you like that touch of reality, then Star Trek kind of is for you. And if you like a little more fantasy in your sci-fi, then Star Wars is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a good one, I think.
I think so, too.
I don't know why I always have to comment on how we did, but yay us.
And thank you. To those
thank you
who contributed Twitter emails. That was
Facebook voicemail. Even my Facebook friends, my random Facebook friends who will never hear this,
yes,
who didn't even know how they contributed.
And in the future, if you want to comment on this show, you can call our voicemail line, which is 432-363-4742, or you can email us at
girlygeeks
with a z
at gmail.com. And you can always go to theanomalypodcast.com.
Yes.
anomaly podcast.com.
And also we have a blog where we will be posting a link to this article that we are talking about, a video review of the Star Trek The Next Generation episode,
yes.
Fistful of Data's, and any other links like the promos that we play and stuff. We always put show notes there, or as often as we can, we put show notes there. But there is also, in between our episodes, there are articles being posted by our anomalous writing staff. So check that out. Become a member there. And the other thing is, I wanted to mention,
yes,
before we go, our boards have been hopping.
Yes.
There are a lot of members there who are coming back and talking, and it's coming alive. So if you have not gone to the forum, what are you waiting for?
And we fixed the active link.
Yes, you can click on active topics and see what's going on now. It was broken for a while. But anyway, we're thinking of starting, we're in the process of world building for an RPG that we're starting on our forum, a steampunk RPG.
Yes.
And you can go kind of check that out from time to time, see where we're going with it.
We're still in the very beginning stages.
We are. We're just talking about it right now. We're world building, like I said.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it.
Yeah. Well, this was very exciting. This is a good podcast.
We're back, baby.
as much as we can be. And again, thanks to everyone for your support on the other thing. You know who you are. You know who you are and why. That's all I have to say. Okay. All right. Well, I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Gamma-cordon golf clap.
We weren't very funny.
No, we missed a chance to be funny.
This is a very serious I can't think of anything I said that was like cool enough for you to put at the beginning of the podcast.
Well, sometimes you need a break from funny.
Yes, but I'm usually very witty.
Well, say something funny.
I don't know. Now I'm put on the spot. I started yoga. I can do a very good downward dog. I posted on Facebook today about how there are suits of armor in my office.
Yes.
And Jim didn't even notice because suits of armor. No big deal.
I'm surprised that they didn't stop him and ask him to answer a riddle. before allowing him to cross or like shocking
him. My brother-in-law posted on Facebook that next time I should put guys in him and have them dance around.
They're huge too.
Yeah, they are.
They're like, what, really, 7 feet tall?
They are, but if you look at them, they're kind of life size. Like a dude could, you know, if a dude put them on,
yes, yes.
That's how big they would be.
They would be not very protective.
Yeah. Hopefully there's something funny in there that you can use.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Hey, Starfleet officer. Are you having a rough time creating reality? Has spaceflight got you down for the count? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Chief O'Brien's Heisenberg Compensators. Yes, that's right. Your personal compensator to make your hollow dreams reality. Just set these enhancers in a trimetric position around your holodeck item and beam away. Impress your captain. Amaze your friends with Chief O'Brien's Heisenberg Compensators. 35 strips of gold-pressed latinum plus beaming and handling. Ship-to-ship communication to Data's Deals, Utopia Planitia, Starfleet Docking Station 12. Chief O'Brien's Heisenberg Compensators. Your fantasy, our reality. Let them materialize today.
Anomaly is released under an attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license, which means you can copy, distribute, and transmit the work, but you can't alter, transform, or build upon it without our permission.
So Ghost infected Frank. He passed it on to the other guys, and I got it from his corpse?
Right. Hello, Echo. How are you feeling?
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
Previously on Heroes.
You had to go and be the detective, didn't you, Matt?
I'm not an aggressive person, but...
Ugh, man, there's just way too much on all these channels.
But only in-game.
Everybody lives, Rose. Just this once! In your dreams, Nutloaf!
Bite my shiny metal hat.
Sometimes I get visions.
Walter, what are you doing? Watch and learn, son.
I wish there was some way to find out what's really worth watching.
There is.
What? Who? What was that?
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the viewer's guide to genre television.
Where is that coming from?
With its spoiler-free quick reviews and water cooler and the spoiler-filled in-depth back porch discussions, Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the only resource fans need to know what's on, what's good, and what's coming soon in science fiction and fantasy television.
How did you get into my house?
Join Kevin, Wendy, and Brent each week for the latest in genre television.
I'm calling the police.
You can find Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
No, seriously. How did you get into my house?
Looking for more fan-made Star Wars audio productions? Then look no further than the home of Star Wars fan audio, StarWarsFanWorks.com. It's your source for audio dramas, audio parodies, online radio shows, and podcasts, plus the most comprehensive Star Wars fan audio news found anywhere. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-Fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And this is Jenny.
We're the hosts of Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast for the award-winning web series, The Guild.
We're not like your typical fan podcasts.
Both Jenny and I have worked on several seasons of The Guild and take our listeners behind the scenes to share our fun and crazy times on set.
We also have exclusive interviews with cast, crew, and fans of The Guild.
We keep you up to date on general Guild news and the latest happenings of our cast and crew.
So please give us a listen on iTunes or at KnightsOfTheGuild.com.
there, my name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
Alright, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the present... Mark?
Alright, get on with it.
Okay, and we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast, and we like to talk about...
Crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at http://waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
Good day to you. My name is Boz. I'm doing this promo to encourage you to listen to our podcast, Here Goes Nothing, now available on the simply syndicated 21st Century Media Network. Obviously, as you can tell from my voice, this show is extremely highbrow and only for the discerning listener.
Story about like a bowling green championship. Needless to say, I was covered in poo. So I run out of nightmares.
Yes. Creativity's dry.
And I can't get any weirder than squirrels. So. I tell you what kids would not be interested in these days, or would be rather funny to see today's kids on, would be Nightmare.
Greetings, challengers. And from which kingdom do you hail?
And we is from Swindon, innit?
Here Goes Nothing, the show called Nothing that has a bit of everything.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we seem to have lost Casey.
Look, I'm still here.
Drowning in mash.
No, I was just going to cut you off because you're making me hungry.
Find us at simplysyndicated.com/shows/Here Goes Nothing.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Taken With You,
the weekly podcast where we discuss life at the Geeky Moyers home, and then we talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. As a matter of fact, we love listening to the Anomaly podcast. It's way cool. Jen and Angela, you guys are just awesome. Or girls, I guess. They're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, and I appreciate geeky girls, because I'm a rather geeky girl myself.
I wouldn't be married to you if you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love Star Trek and heavy metal music and fun things like that.
I like reading and home and garden TV and quiet things, soft music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But we do live together, and we have for almost 24 years.
Yep.
We're married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance, come take a listen to our very fun weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And
it's at takehimwithyou.com.
Yes, you're doing very well, honey. Keep going.
Okay, that's all it says. You can find us at takehimwithyou.com.
Or you can get us on iTunes as well. So okay. Do that. And thanks again, Jan and Angela, for your great podcast. Hopefully everybody will come check out Take Him With You after that.
It's here. The follow-up release to my Stargazer music project, MW Orbit. The short story and musical journey of an artificially intelligent probe launched by NASA to explore the Milky Way galaxy.
Greetings. I am MW Orbit from the planet Earth. Is there anyone there?
MW Orbit, head on over to mw-orbit.com to listen to samples, download your free bonus song, and purchase your digital instant download from CD Baby.
exploration in not only the universe, but in human emotion and discovery from the perspective of a small robot probe named MW Orbit.
My life, my life, my life, my life, my life.
MW Orbit, the short story and musical journey. Get your copy today at mw-orbit.com.
This is Jeff from Champ Podcast. After you finish listening to this excellent podcast, I invite you to come listen to ours. My co-host Jason and myself cover open-wheel auto racing, focusing on Formula One and IndyCar. Each podcast, we review the races, we talk about the drivers and teams, and all the news and rumors as well. So come give us a go. We can be found at www.champpodcast.com, that's with one P, or in iTunes, search Champ Podcast. Champ Podcast, the world's fastest podcast.
Good evening, sci-fi fans. When you're not listening to the Anomaly podcast with those gorgeous girly geeks, Jen and Angela. Ah, oh, Jen, your accent, I love it so much. When you're not listening to the Anomaly podcast, then I'd be honoured if you could take a few minutes to check out my little show, Appy Times. If you have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, if you love your applications but are feeling the pinch of the current economic climate, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'll review a free or cheap application and spend a few minutes gassing on about why I like it, or not. Buying apps over the air can be addictive and expensive, so why not spend a few minutes a week listening to Appy Times, and I'll try to separate the wheat from the chaff. Just go to appytimes.podbean.com or search the iTunes store for Appy Times. That's APPYTIMES. Come and share Appy Times with me.